Hello, nature-loving friends, and welcome to Planet Earth, our loving home. On today's episode, we will meet Australian scientist Professor Barry Brook, who will discuss our planet's global warming crisis and possible solutions. Professor Brook holds the Sir Hubert Wilkins Chair of Climate Change and is the Environment Institute's Director of Climate Research at the University of Adelaide, Australia. He has published two books, Southeast Asian Biodiversity in Crisis and Tropical Conservation Biology, and over 150 scientific papers in his field. He has also been conferred with multiple honours. In 2006, the Australian Academy of Science gave him the Fenner Medal, which recognises the top Australian scientists under 40 for their work in biology. In 2007, he was presented the H.G. Andrew Arthur Medal by the Royal Society of South Australia for outstanding research in any discipline by an Australian scientist under 40. He was also given the Cosmos Bright Sparks Award in 2007, which recognises the top 10 young scientists in Australia. Now, Professor Brook shares some of his deep knowledge regarding the amount of ice on our planet and its relation to climate change.
If there's more ice on the planet is colder. If there's less ice, it's warmer. And right now, the planet is shedding ice, and it's doing so at a rapid rate. We're losing ice from high mountains, which has been locked up as glaciers for many centuries. We're losing ice from Antarctica, that frozen continent in the southern hemisphere, and we're losing ice from the Arctic, both from the Greenland ice sheet, which is a large body of ice that sits on top of an island next to Canada, and also from the Arctic Ocean, which naturally melts and refreezes each summer and winter, but each time it melts in the summer now you're getting less of it remaining. All of these are a major concern because as the ice is lost in Antarctica, and one of the most recent events we've seen is the breakup of the Wilkins ice sheet in the Antarctic Peninsula, which is a worrying sign because it releases more land-based ice behind it. So we're seeing those effects, and also we're seeing an increased melt of ice on mountains. Then that's a signal that the climate is continuing to warm. It's also a feedback because as that ice is lost, then that part of the planet is able to absorb more sunlight and re-radiate more heat, and so heat up more rapidly.
What would happen if we lost all the ice in Antarctica, or even all the ice on our planet? Professor Brook paints the grim scenario for all beings on Earth if these types of events were to happen.
If all of the ice in Antarctica were to melt over, then sea levels would rise by up to 70 to 80 metres. So all of the low-lying areas around the coastlines of the world that we currently use for cities and for agriculture would be inundated. We would have to pull back, we'd have to retreat inland. And that would have a human cost, it would have a cost in terms of coastal biodiversity, it would have dramatic impacts on the planet. It takes millions of years to accumulate enough ice in places like Greenland and Antarctica to make a huge difference to sea levels. Now, if we eliminate all of that ice and cause global temperatures to rise by 5, 6, 7 degrees Celsius, then we'll never get that ice back, at least in the vast span of time that humanity, we would hope, will still be on this planet. We'll have a different planet and a less habitable planet, a less pleasant planet for humanity to live on. Let's avoid that future.
In September 2009, the city of Sydney and Eastern Australia experienced a very intense dust storm with a staggering 5 million tonnes of dust spread about. Severe bushfires are also becoming increasingly common, as many parts of the country are seeing serious extended droughts.
Australia is one of those places in the world that seems to be suffering from the early effects of climate change. We're seeing events which, when you put them all together, are quite unusual. We're seeing heat waves occurring in southern Australia over the last few years that are quite unprecedented in the long-term record. Many days of above 40 degrees Celsius. The year before, we had 15 days in my home city of Adelaide above 35 degrees Celsius, which, based on the historical records, should have only happened once every 3,000 years or so. These are unusual events, and then we've had an extremely warm winter this year, and we've seen over the last few months the oceans of the planet have been warmer than has ever been recorded at any time in the past. So I think what this is indicating is that the planet is warming and that we're seeing more extreme events becoming commoner. So I think these are signals of a problem which right now is potentially manageable and in the future could be totally unmanageable if we let it continue on its current pathway.
In some areas in Australia, agriculture production has significantly decreased due to global warming.
The worst case scenarios for somewhere like the Murray-Darling Basin, which is the food bowl of Australia, is that under an unmitigated climate change scenario, which results in 4 to 6 degrees of warming, agricultural productivity in that area could drop by as much as 95%.
When we return, Professor Barry Brook will speak about the enormous impact of the livestock industry on global warming. Please stay tuned to Supreme Master Television. Welcome back to Planet Earth, Our Loving Home, on Supreme Master Television. Today's program features climate change expert Professor Barry Brook of the University of Adelaide, Australia, and his perspectives on the heating of our planet. In their recently published paper, Livestock and Climate Change in World Watch magazine, former and current World Bank environmental experts Dr. Robert Woodland and Jeff Unhung conclude that more than 51% of human-caused global greenhouse gas emissions come from the livestock industry. Globally, this industry is the number one anthropogenic source of the dangerous greenhouse gas methane. We asked Professor Brook for his insights on livestock raising and climate change.
The livestock industry, without a doubt, has a large impact on global warming. And it has it in two primary ways. One of them is that livestock require a large amount of land. And so one of the major factors driving deforestation in tropical regions now is the pressure to expand livestock herds for meat production. Now, the other way that livestock impacts global warming is directly through the release of a gas called methane from the production of energy from their rumen. So that, together with the carbon dioxide that's released when you burn tropical forests, together have a big impact on climate change. In the last century, the planet's warmed by almost a degree, which doesn't sound like a lot, but in fact, when you look at particular areas of the Earth, they've warmed a lot more than others. And one of those areas of the planet that has warmed particularly intensely is the Arctic area. And that's really fundamentally important because as that area warms, the snow and ice stays on the ground for shorter amounts of time each year, and areas of that vast Arctic region that were once permanently frozen, known as the permafrost, are starting to melt. Now, as that melts, that vegetation, which once grew thousands of years ago and is now exposed to the air and water, starts to rot, and as it rots, it releases methane. And so this is a major source of methane emissions, and it's growing. And there's a real worry in the climate science community that this type of feedback from the climate system could have a major impact on methane levels into the future. Now, as I said earlier when I was talking about the livestock industry, methane is a powerful greenhouse gas. Indeed, over the short term, methane is about 72 times more powerful per molecule than carbon dioxide. So when you get areas of the planet that are responding to climate change that's already happened and releasing methane as a result, that's known as an amplifying feedback. It's making the whole problem worse than it would otherwise be, and that's a major concern. That's tied to methane, just like the methane from agriculture is also tied to driving the current rise in temperature.
Reducing carbon dioxide levels has long been central to climate change mitigation measures. Professor Brook is calling for the world to focus more on methane's role in global warming.
Methane is the most important greenhouse gas in the short term. Carbon dioxide is by far the most important greenhouse gas in the long term. So solving one of those doesn't solve the problem. But ignoring one of those is potentially really problematic. And I think it's too far tipped in one direction right now, focusing on carbon dioxide alone and not really giving much attention at all to the methane problem. We really need to be doing both. In the long term, if we're going to seriously avoid the major impacts of climate change, we're going to have to decarbonize our energy supply, get off coal, oil and gas predominantly. But there are many short-term steps that we can take that will help cool the planet over the next few decades and potentially avoid some of the worst consequences of feedbacks in the climate system, like the ones I talked about of melting permafrost, releasing methane, and so enhancing the original direct effect that people had from burning fossil fuel.
In their paper, Dr. Goodland and Jeff Unhung conclude that the quickest and most effective solution to climate change is for humanity to quickly shift to a diet free of animal products. Professor Brooks also sees diet as playing an important part in addressing global warming.
We can also take other steps, such as changing our diet. For those of you who are vegans and have chosen to avoid animal products completely, then you're already taking a major step to reducing your own footprint in terms of reducing your carbon emissions from your diet. So I think if you can promote a healthy lifestyle and one that has a balanced mix of different food products within it, that has consideration for its carbon content and it's also its impact on biodiversity, then that's a valuable role in reducing our impact on global warming.
We thank Professor Barry Brook for speaking about the urgent climate crisis of our planet and ways we can all help curb global warming. We wish him the very best in his future climate research work. For more information on Professor Barry Brook, please visit bravenewclimate.com. Tropical Conservation Biology is available at www.wiley.com. Southeast Asian Biodiversity in Crisis is available at www.cambridge.org. Intelligent viewers, thank you for joining us on Planet Earth, our loving home. Up next is enlightening entertainment after noteworthy news. May we all quickly adopt the organic vegan diet so our Earth rapidly cools, thus ensuring a bright future for all beings.
For more details, please visit www.suprememastertv.com/PE.